I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In this week's episode of Triple T...
Damn, knock it off! Yeah, what are you doing?
Moving things around.
Rustling a fucking potato chip bag over there?
What was it?
It's my rosary.
Oh.
So one of my friends, who's a girl, and you know, just kind of smile, but at the same time look like you're sucking on a lemon.
And you could say, I just went on a date with a bunch of hookers.
Still muted. Shit. Yep. Sorry. I just walked in at the exact wrong time. I put on headphones and it was the right time. You can say you went on a date with a bunch of hookers. What the fuck was just said?
If a girl farts on a first date, is that like a nope? Is that a laughter piece? Is that something that's like, okay, good
laughter
sense
piece.
Of humor?
Bro, that's marriage material. Are you kidding me? Is it sounding to you like he's going to a website called assmen.com?
Tuesday morning, afternoon, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever you're listening to this. Appreciate the hell out of you guys. But time this being raised, 27th. It's almost the last day of February. Oh, there's 29 days. It's a leap year this year. I didn't know that.
Yep. Huh.
But maybe if I was listening to more of the friends
Damn,
talking
knock it
nerdy.
Off. Yeah, what are you doing? Fucking shit,
moving
dude.
Things around.
Stop. You had time to do that before we started.
Every
you rustling
like, oh,
a fucking
we're live?
Potato chip bag over there? Right when do we go live?
What was it?
It's my rosary.
Oh, that makes sense. He's going, oh.
Well, now I'm
for the bad priest.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
Yep. Please save me on this podcast because I know what's going to be happening. I got a small mouth. I have no eyebrows. And yes, I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it again this morning.
Proud of it.
Hey, you should be. Own it. Rock it. Whatever the thing is. But,
Dance
yeah, before I forget, Deluxe Edition Network, check them out. They're going to have the Denny's, not the restaurant, but the awards. Super excited. It's going to be in person. We'll let you know details. Maybe you can vote for, you know, Toby for the most cigarettes consumed on a podcast. I can't confirm. I most of them are audio-only podcasts, so I can't see. But Toby's doing pretty decent at it. We're going to get him out there. Check out Films and Fermentation, Friends Talking Nerdies. And March is happening. There's going to be some new podcasts. Is it going to be this one? Maybe. I already know the answer, but I lost because I was trying to find like what they were going to be and kind of give some spoilers. So maybe while we're talking, if you see me looking at my phone, I'm gonna give some spoilers on what the next one is. But either way, the voices that you're about to see and the faces you do see is me, Matt. And we got Dan, who also goes by Lollygag. Lollygag Dan. Lollygag Dan. Yep. He's a gogger, not a gagger. And they call me Toby, too. Or Toby, what's up, you beautiful motherfuckers?
Not much. Just we spent the morning making fun of Dan's face again, trying to cheer up a friend. Mm-hmm. She laughed.
Nice.
Got to hear Dan give what I would have assumed to be some of the worst flirting advice I've ever heard in my life. The fact that it worked out. The fact
Can we
that
hear
it worked out and it
some
w-
of this
was
advice, Dan?
What, it was Yeah, it was Dan. Was it your brother?
You want me to say it?
So your brother married this girl?
No, no, no. So one of my friends who's a girl, and she was telling me I'm horrible at flirting. And I'm like, it's not that hard for women. I think if you just do some very basic things, you could tell the guy that you like him. Well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, like just flutter your eyes. What is that? Flutter your eyes, you know, blink really quick. And she's like, I can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? Well, my mom and my sister try to get me to do that. And I look like I'm having a seizure or something like that. I'm about to go into a seizure, you know? And I'm like, I go, so can you just blink like 3 times in a row? Or just really quickly? Oh yeah, I can do that. And she did. I'm like, okay, cool. If he says some kind of flirty or if he's around or something like that, just, you know, just kind of smile, but at the same time, look like you're sucking on a lemon. Like that. And I can do that too. So then a couple months later, she ended up dating my brother and they got married.
Yeah. So you gave the advice
thanks for the advice.
So you gave advice to a friend to date and give advice to your brother. So you had some inside scoop what might work for your brother specifically?
No. This is for her to do. Well, because
he didn't know that she was going to be dating his brother.
No. Oh, so advice that happened to work out for your brother.
Yeah. Which.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting here. Now, I don't know if you guys can see me right now or not. But
yeah,
I'm picturing this girl just going and doing one of these. And I'm like, duh.
Yes.
But if it's Dan's brother and it worked, it kind of makes sense. I'd be like, yeah, she probably likes a dorky girl.
Your brother in the medical field where maybe he could have been like, I need to save this girl from having a stroke and the reaction that she's having to whatever? Because that could have been some advice.
I will say
maybe
this,
that's
though.
How you get a doctor.
I will say this. The Midwestern guys, we love our dorky girls. We like our dorky girls and our tomboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, where we are, it's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Let me ask you this, though. First date, I don't know how long you've been, you know, with your, you know, partner or whatever. Dan has been a long time. I know Toby and Angel have been married quite a few times, but I want you to think back first date.
We've been married once.
Maybe it's somebody back there. No, like for a long time.
Oh, okay. I was like,
A long time. Like you've been with Angel for a long time. So that's why I was. Let's think first date, whether it's them or a first date in the past. If a girl farts on a first date, is that like a nope? Is that a laughter piece? Is that something that's like okay, good
laughter
sense
piece.
Of humor?
Bro, that's marriage material. Are you kidding me? If she's already that comfortable around you, I'd be first off. Like Dan said, I'd laugh my ass off. I'd be like, and of course you say, nice push, right? But then you do have to question though, okay, how often do you do this? Like, because I don't need somebody smoking me out while I'm in bed either. Although I don't have a sense of smell, so I guess it's not, it's the principle of the matter with me, but still.
Mm-hmm. Because farts are funny, but there's a time and a place. Like you said, is it a medical thing? The only reason is I had a buddy that went on a first date a long time ago, and he was the type of guy that you gave advice, whether, you know, Dan's given advice or whatever, he would do the opposite. So we're kind of like, he's like, oh, where do I bring this girl? We're like, dude, don't bring her like eating a sub or chicken wings or something like that. Women think that's a tough first date with the food being awkward. Cause then, you know, if she doesn't want to like, you know, this is me visually eating a sub and it's a funny thing. Maybe then she starts cutting the sub and then, you know, they're judgmental, like, oh shit, now I'm cutting a sub. What's he going to think? Well, he brought her to a sub place naturally because he doesn't listen. And when they were eating, he had her laughing so hard that a fart kind of came out. And him being awesome. Him was like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Being a little embarrassed. I'm like, so you brought her to a place eating a sub, which is awkward for people potentially on a first date. And she rips one. And it didn't work out for them, but it was good for a while.
So some of the advice that I was given today, and Dan, you can tell me if I was given good advice or not, but so I haven't been part of the dating world for over 26 years. Okay. Because
long time.
I mean, that's how long I've been married. So, but one of the biggest things that I see is people are trying too hard to not just be natural, not be themselves. Everybody's trying to present themselves as somebody that's likable. Listen, if you're likable, you're likable. If you're not, you're not. And that doesn't mean you're not likable to everybody. It just means maybe not that person. So the advice I gave was be yourself, be natural, wear comfortable clothes. I'm not saying, you know, if you're going to a restaurant, don't wear like a t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants, you know, like your lounge clothes, but wear something that's comfortable to you and not like, you're not trying to dress up. Like dress as you would if you were going out to a place with friends, right? Like if you're going to a nice restaurant, dress the way that you would going to a nice restaurant with your friends. If you're going to a bar, dress the way you would go to a bar with your friends. Like don't dress in a way that is one, going to make you feel uncomfortable while you're out. And two, that doesn't that's like, it's playing you up as somebody that you're not, right? Like,
yeah.
Don't go to the Texas Roadhouse wearing a sequin ball gown. You know what I mean? Like, there's no need to wear.
Unless you both plan and have a sense of humor.
Yeah. There's no need for you to wear, you know, 3-inch heels going out to a restaurant if you normally don't wear heels. You know what I mean? You're going to feel awkward. Your feet are going to hurt. Heels are always a bad idea for a first date anyway, unless it's just dinner and then you're both splitting from there. Because if there's any walking involved, fucking Christ. And good news,
especially in the Midwest or where I live, lots of snow and 3-inch heels.
So the best news, she has a newfound gay best friend, flamboyantly gay guy. I was like, use him to your advantage. Mm-hmm. Take him out to places, you know, grab a couple of different outfits that you think that you might like, that you'd feel comfortable in. Invite him over, ask him what he thinks. He's going to tell you. A gay guy's going to tell you. He's either going to be like, girl, you're on fire, or, oh my God, that's trash. Like, they're not going to hold back.
No.
That's why I asked Dan.
Nope.
It's horrible advice.
The fuck?
Horrible.
I should have told her to act like she's... I should have told her to act like she was sucking on a lemon.
It's horrible. I said it was horrible advice.
The worst, I will say this. I mean, I love Richie, but he gave the worst advice that Richie gave the entire time was just remember, you don't need anybody. I'm like, stop, don't do that. Richie, goddamn it, don't do that. This poor girl.
Advice. You don't need anybody.
Yeah. You don't just remember, you don't need anybody.
I miss that part because I got halfway through Richie's video and then I had to jump on here. So I'm not cut off yet. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. You give horrible advice, Toby. Just have her go out, blink her eyes like she's having some kind of medical thing and act like she's holding in a fart the entire time.
Yeah.
Just have her do a
maybe blink at the same time while she's doing that.
Am I cute now? Here's another question that was brought up during that, since we're still talking about dating. Do looks play a major factor when you're going out on a first date? Do you guys feel? Or are you willing?
I'm gonna say no because,
The
only reason I'm saying is because I have to imagine, and you know, I haven't been in a relationship for 26 years. I spent a lot of time single, but before you go on a first date, you know, kind of the general appearance these days. You're gonna be probably Facebook friends. You're gonna be on Snapchat. You're gonna be sending. You have a general idea of what they look like. So I don't think you're gonna walk into a unless it's a straight up blind first date. I think this day and age, you know a general, like, what they're going to look like. So, I mean, for me personally, it's not going to be like, unless you're getting catfished and, you know what I mean, you're expecting, say, 5'8", 100-and-something pounds, and it's 5'4", 320, then I think the looks would be a little bit, because you're not expecting that person. But looks in general, to an extent, maybe. I mean, we all have our types.
Right. I've definitely have seen, like, beautiful women that once you start talking to them, you're like, that's about it. That's all you got going on for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but this first impression is not good.
Yeah. So, well, no, I think, me personally, personality is a huge thing. Like, you got to be able to hold a conversation, have personality, laugh at a fart. not just like, but some people, we all have different.
The thing is you need to try to find somebody that's going to be comfortable with who you are every day. Like who, mm-hmm. the type of the person that you are. Right. Which is why I try to tell people act natural, be yourself, be in a make sure that where you're going is going to be an environment that's comfortable to you, things like that. And just don't hold back on who you are. I mean, don't let all your fucking crazy out. Like, let that slowly develop and then see that before the relationship gets too much. But by the time you're done being in that dating stage and getting and moving into that relationship stage, there really shouldn't be a lot of secrets. Because that's where things fail when it's a distrust, dishonesty. You know, I should have kind of known this about you to begin with, but on the same respect, Dan kind of brings up a good point too. Now I'm not going to say I feel like a lot of really attractive women have kind of almost been pushed into being that way because men put beautiful women up on this pedestal, right? Like they're a showpiece after a certain time. And I think women kind of find themselves if they're being treated a certain way. And I think this is the way with human nature in general. If you're being treated a certain way, you're eventually just going to continue to be that way because this is what people seem to want. I find more often than not, a lot of guys don't go and try to ask out the good looking girl because they feel like they're going to get rejected. Guys, if you've got an amazing personality, if you can make that girl laugh, if you can genuinely make her laugh and have a good time, you're in. Don't take her looks as an automatic rejection because you don't feel you're at her level. You'd be amazed at how many really good looking women don't ever have anybody approach them. And the reason why they end up going out with assholes is because the people that are approaching them are narcissistic, egotistic, these kind of guys that, they're the kind of guys that are like, of course she's going to go out with me. Look at me. You know what I mean? She wants, I think when it boils down to it, men and women in general want somebody that they can relate to, that they can be themselves around and just have a genuinely good time without things feeling forced. Right. So take your chances, go up. And if you think somebody's attractive and that's your thing and you want to find out more about them, go talk to them. You're not going to hurt yourself on that first approach. Regardless, you're either going to go up and get rejected and you're going to be like, okay, well, not for me, I guess, or I'm not for them. Or you're going to go up and you're going to strike up a conversation and you're going to get a feel for it. And then either things are going to go the way you want, or you're going to be like, well, this doesn't work for me, and I'm going to walk away.
I think also a lot of guys, they do go out and they put themselves out there and they get rejected, right? And it becomes a thing where it's like, you know, you got to look at what's going on then inside of you and figure that out. You know, what are you doing to better yourself? Do you have your own hobbies that you're, you know, doing things that just better your situation? Because maybe it's something in your communication, you know, the way you're communicating. Just a little. You don't have to change yourself, you know, but you need to like improve yourself, you know.
And maybe it's where you're trying to find this thing. You know, maybe you're at a high end restaurant thing and that's not your scene. You're more of a bowling alley guy and you're trying to pick up, you know, this woman that's, you know, at a library or, and you don't read, you know what I mean? I feel like I've got some buddies that have always kind of played that card. You're like, you're going to a place that you don't go on. You're
bowling trying to find somebody. Of course, you're not gonna have common ground. The bowling alley is the most overlooked, underrated first date in history. Bowling alley is an amazing place for a first date.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't actually have to be good at bowling. And if you're really good at bowling, like,
movies are not really the greatest. I think you're sitting there and you're not really conversating, you know, that's some more down the road, you know, going to a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put movie at around like the third, fourth date range.
Yeah.
The first two dates have got to be something that you really want to kind of, you're really trying to get to know each other at that point. but you're trying to do it in a relaxed environment, which is why I say, dude, a bowling alley is a slept on first date. There's so much shit going on. It's almost impossible for you to stay focused on not being you. Right. Like it's just, you know, it's fun. Like it's fun. I don't care if you're good at bowling or not. Obviously, if you're hooking up with a girl and she's got like those 4-inch nails, bowling's probably not going to be for her though. So let's still put it in mind.
You get her the ramp and she can just drop the ball down the ramp like the kids do. I don't want you to break a nail. Just aim the ramp. Just send her.
So would that be, looked at as like a dick move or insensitive? Like you're trying to talk shit about her if you were to do that?
That could be taken either way. But I mean, hey, I'm looking out for you. You can't physically put your fingers in there. You probably dropped, I don't know how much nail things cost. It probably can't be cheap.
Yeah, it's true.
Unless she's going to grip the ball and just chuck it without it. I don't.
Well, like a guy, like as guys, we look at that as, well, this is a practical solution. And we're looking out for her interests, right? But would a girl look at that as like, you think I'm a baby? Like, you know, or why would you even bother to take me here in the first place if you thought that this was going to be a problem? You know, because is she going to feel embarrassed that she's got to use the ramp? Bro, I'll tell you right now, I'll use that damn ramp all day. I'll put the bumpers up. Make me feel better about my score. I don't care.
You could also like give her options, you know, like, how do you feel about this? Do you like this? You know, is this something that you'd be interested in?
But then again, I guess if she gets that pissed off that you're trying to do a good thing and she gets that mad, hey, see ya. No second date, maybe. Hey, maybe that's if she's going to get mad over something like that, what else is she going to get mad about?
Dude, listen.
Oh, you didn't?
I saw a video today where a woman was losing her mind about guys need to learn. I don't understand why guys can't just learn to take hints. Like, why do I got to talk to you like a child and explain every little thing? I'm like, because that's what being an adult is. Convey your interest. Convey what you're trying to say. It's not my job to try to transcribe every little thing that you're saying. Because first of all, if I get it fucking wrong, now I'm in even more trouble. So don't drop hints.
It's a weird game to play.
Guys aren't. Yeah. And it's weird. It's a game. Guys aren't trying to, we're not trying to not pick up on your hints. It's the fact that we've done that in the past and we've been burned by it so many times by guessing the wrong thing that it's not fun. it's not fun for me. My wife knows.
That brings a point. Sorry to cut you off, Dan. Well, like, how many times have you heard a buddy or said yourself, "Ooh, I don't know if I should do that. I don't want to get in trouble." You know what I mean? There's all these relationships that kind of have that. "Ooh, I don't know if I should hang out with you guys. I'm probably going to get in trouble." That whole fear aspect, whether it's the male person, obviously I'm a dude, so I've, you know what I mean? I haven't lived that life, but I hear my dude friends, but same as females as well. Like, "I don't want to do that. He's going to be mad at me." And it's like, over something so stupid? Like, come on.
If I think also, I think too, it's like, I think there's definitely a great point of like, you know, you have to be able to communicate to me well, but in return, I do think men, need to learn proper communication at times too. Cause we'll communicate to women the way we'll communicate to our best friends. And it's just, no, that's not always the way to do things. You know, there's times where you're going to have to do the majority of it is just listening, you know? Or there's times that you're going to have to figure out on how that person wants to be communicated to. That's what like dating is about. So having that person that you're talking about, Toby, say, "Why do I have to explain everything?" Well, I mean, that's what good communication is telling your partner like what's up, you know?
Yeah.
And you being able to communicate back in the proper way. That's not sound like an asshole. Basically,
I mean, you know, I'm wrong. Yeah,
because there's times where we're like, you know, we talk to each other. We could be harsh because that's the way we communicate because it has to be in your face sometimes.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah,
what doesn't always work? And it does. Sometimes it works for some women. Some women want that. You know, so it just depends on the person, really.
So what you're saying is that, what Dan just fully described, he just kind of erased on his own at the end by saying, it's really preference.
I mean, it kind of is. Everybody's different, right?
Well, I mean, I would hope the whole so, beauty. I would think there's enough generalities.
You have to figure it out. So I think what I'm trying to say is sometimes people bring relationships and they just see it as right, wrong, but there's not this gray area. Like, oh, you're a woman, yep. So you need to be this way. And it's just like, no, that's not how that goes, you know? So I'm talking about my personal experience. I was, you know, Christian, you know, very sheltered, and I had the church's idea, my church's idea on how things needed to be. And I thought that was the right way because I thought that was God's way of doing things. And I didn't know shit. I didn't know a thing. And then it wasn't until I started saying, okay, let's look and see what else the church has to say about this. Couldn't find anything. Okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to find out what other people that are not in the church are saying about this and how to be in a relationship, how to flirt. I didn't know fucking how to flirt. You know, like I had to look at those examples. And so I had to start from scratch.
I don't know if the church tries to teach you how to flirt. Unless you're don't. Talking about priests in altar boys. There it is. Fucking, you can say what you want, but I think I nailed it. Three priests when I was growing up, all in the papers for the same thing.
Wow.
Local.
Yeah. But
and my parents are like,
yeah,
you could have been an altar boy. I'm like, what are you saying? Could have had my first sexual experience. I could have been fully experienced by the time I met my wife, as long as she likes strap-ons.
So I just Googled, and just real quick, I didn't Google what Toby was talking about. Let's clarify that.
That's probably good.
That's really good. Yeah, I don't want to be on a list. Top 10 first dates, like where to bring them. And I'm curious. How kind of the conversation we did and how this breaks it down. The first one was askmen.com. Then there was a businessinsider.com, which I just got rid of that one. I mean, what does Business Insider know? And then straight Google first date ideas. So I'm going to kind of just blend. We'll go right from askmen.com. Number, I don't think they rank them in order, just 10 ideas. So I'm going to start on the bottom, work my way up just for fun.
Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Dan, is it just me or does it sound to you, and I already see a slight grin, is it sounding to you like he's going to a website called assmen.com? Because I'm not hearing a real pronunciation of a K in there. I'm not hearing askmen.com. I'm hearing, I'm going to a first date, you know, suggestions from assmen.com. Okay, well, let's hear how this one goes.
It's an acronym serious situational stuff. Askmen.com.
I mean, I wasn't going to doubt that there would be suggestions and, you know, tips.
Yep. And it's owned by a snake. Askmen.com.
Askmen.
Right. Askmen.com. Askmen.com. All right. We're starting at the bottom. An extreme outdoor adventure.
I don't recommend the highest difficulty level
of your first date.
Yeah, nope, I would never.
No.
Hey, by the way, do you watch Survivor? No. Sweet. Let's go to the woods.
Well, this says it's even worse. Take your date bungee jumping, whitewater rafting, or skydiving.
You know, Ted Bundy used to take some of his women out in the woods. I probably shouldn't have said that.
But you did.
It was just just a fact that jumped up on my head. It was just a fact that jumped in my head. I'm sorry. Don't go.
Yeah, why'd you say it like that?
Yeah, no shit. Ted Bundy used to bring his women camping. You know that Ted Bundy, he was a pretty good looking guy. He knew where to take girls on dates. Here's the thing. I would do the bungee jumping thing. I would see that as okay. But not something like, I don't think whitewater rafting or even skydiving. I mean, unless she's already into skydiving.
Yeah.
If she's into
skydiving.
If she's into skydiving and you've never gone skydiving before, that's a great first date. Because one, it shows that you're willing to do things that you normally haven't done. And two, it's going to show your vulnerabilities, especially if you're afraid of heights and you're still willing to go. She's going to love you screaming like a little bitch the whole way down.
Yeah. Now imagine, though, that's setting the bar pretty high. Does that person think, oh, all of these dates are going to be this wild? Like, not only that, like, just say, hypothetically, you don't have a ton. Like, that's going to be an expensive first date. Like, do you try real hard and then it goes down? Or do you set the bar a little bit lower? And then it's the expectations then maybe go up. I mean, just throwing another situation out there.
That's for the fellas
or the ladies listening.
That's a good idea, too. Like, you know, I mean, you want to put your first date like right in that midpoint. Right. You don't want to go somewhere super fucking expensive. That's really fancy, because now it's going to be that shit. We're going to do this all the time. But you don't want to you also don't want to take her to fucking Applebee's. Chuck E. Cheese is another slept on place. Chuck E. Cheese is a great place for a fucking first date. I'm sorry. It is. It's a fun place. Or an arcade, like one of those arcade. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Dave and Buster's.
We got a whole fucking list that we need to talk about. I've had.
From AskMen.com. Yeah.
So full disclosure, I've had 5 energy drinks.
Yeah, I can tell.
I just finished my coffee, so I'm
going to try to rein it in
as well. That's why I want to get one of those.
So, Matt, what I was going to say, a part of that is that, you know, going to the skydiving thing, it's a nice thing, because then you're putting yourself into her world and to her, you know, what she's used to doing. You're asking, can I be a part of what you're into? Show me, you know, your ways of doing things, you know.
Sorry, so I thought you were trying to move on.
You're just repeating what I said with different words, you asshole.
Did you use ChatGPT to arrange his words?
You didn't say that.
What?
You didn't say that.
Okay, so let me throw this out there then, Dan.
We're going to fight.
So say her interests and stuff. No, I'm not going to say this. I'm going to take this back. I'm going to take that back. Nope, we're not going to go. All right, let's go number 2. Dancing. Dancing of any kind. Maybe it's, you know, line dancing, club dancing. I guess it depends.
I'm not a dancer.
Ballroom dancing.
If I'm willing to look like an idiot, yeah.
Anybody can do ballroom dancing. I like to dance. Like, anybody can learn ballroom dancing. To put that on the other end of the spectrum, anybody can learn to do the polka. If you're in the Midwest and you take a girl to go do the polka, it's a lot of fun. I've done that as first dates.
We've gone out.
We crashed. We crashed a Midwestern fucking wedding reception, and we heard polka music as we were walking by, and I was like, "You want to go do the polka?" And she's like, "Are you serious right now?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "It's a wedding reception." I was like, "I don't give a shit." She goes, "All right,
yeah, everybody will be happy."
Yeah,
and drunk.
And we had a blast.
Dancing, not bad. Not bad. I think that's a good idea. Next one, cooking class.
Yeah.
Cooking class. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Service is not offered where I am. I don't know about where you guys are. Like, there isn't anywhere that I've ever seen that you could bring someone to a cooking class. Maybe it's a side hustle up here, but I think that's a good one.
Well, if one's not available, there's another option. You find like a cool recipe, like a step-by-step on YouTube. And you just invite her over to make dinner together. And you go like, "Hey, I found this really cool recipe on YouTube. And I thought maybe we could watch the video and make it together." And you can talk while you're doing it. And, you know, you guys create this thing together. And if it turns out horribly, it turns out horribly. But you probably had a really fun time doing it.
Do you think that some people would be a little intimidated to go to somebody's house on a first date? Throwing this out there as like a
get like, you know, an Airbnb or something, or
yeah, I think, you know, like a, like with a dinner and stuff, there's always, you always see on the TV shows and the movies and stuff, like, "Ooh, I gotta go, there's an emergency at the house," like, so they have like an exit strategy if they're at your house and somebody's, you know, giving off Ted Bundy vibes. But no, I like the cooking class idea, like I said, whether it's a home, I think you could get creative with that. I think that's a good one. This next one for me isn't really up my alley, but I could see that it would be for a lot of people, like take them to a museum or an art gallery. Maybe they're a culture vulture is what it says on AskMen.com.
Again, like what Dan was saying earlier, though, you'd kind of have to feel out what the person was like to see if this would really be fitting for them. Because if not, that's going one of two ways. That's either going really well or that's going horribly. And you're going to be looked at as a bore. especially if it's not up your alley. Like, I like art. Mm-hmm. I like sculptures. I really appreciate, you know, museums. But it's not like my thing, right? So I might even seem bored going through doing it if, like, the, you know, what's on display, or, you know, if the displays aren't really my thing. So I don't know. Yep. I'd put that one further down. I'd put that further down on the list.
Yeah, but guys like, you know, that are quick-witted and maybe like us, like, you have a little flip on it. Like, hey, so art really isn't my thing, it turns out. This is kind of boring. You want to make fun of these arts? And yeah. You want to, like, you know, you could potentially make it a little bit more fun like that. Be like, so somebody pay $100,000 for that? I made that same exact one when I was in kindergarten. But
David's like said, dick is lower, a lot smaller than I thought it would be for an 8-foot-tall statue.
Yeah. If you're into that, guess what? Date 3 is.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Gonna be real nice, or whatever the number is. that. Yeah, it's not all about the size. You know, she comes up with that. Not all about the size. Hell yeah. Picnic in the park.
Always a good idea. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Unless your first date's in December and you're where I am, that's not gonna work out so well, but could make it fun. Local.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these suggestions are like during the spring and summer, spring, summer, fall suggestions. So let's just keep our mind out of dating in the winter.
Which, you know, Toby, is the best time to go sledding.
Yeah. Sledding is an amazing first date if you live in a place where there's fucking snow. Go sledding, have a snowball fight, sledding, make tubing, a snowman, fucking all of that. Brilliant.
Hot cocoa at the end.
Wrapping up in a blanket. Yeah.
Bring them to the mountain, like one of the mountain ones, not Ted Bundy. Easy, Dan. The ones that, like, at a ski resort and stuff where they can do, tubing, and they clip onto the tubes and they bring you back up the hill is even better. You're Midwest guy, right?
Yeah. Northern Midwest.
So you've been to, you probably, or at least seen some of these places where, you know, you do the tubing or whatever, and they bring you back up. That's even better, because for me, like, my brain went, like, if I want to go sledding and I got to walk up and down that hill too many times, like, I'm going to be fucking gassed, sweaty, smelly. Like, is that what you really want on a first date? But if I'm tubing.
Yeah, tubing would be better, because they have those little hook things and they kind of take you back up a hill.
Yep. And you could say, I just went on a date with a bunch of hookers. Yeah. Maybe that's not something you...
It's very true.
Still muted.
You're muted.
Still muted.
Shit. Yep. Sorry. I just walked in at the exact wrong time. I put on headphones and it was the right time. You can say you went on a date with a bunch of hookers. What the fuck was just said?
Yeah. I wanted to see your reactions. We were talking about tubing, and then they hook you up and then bring you back up there. And I said, if all else fails, you could say you went on a date with a bunch of hookers.
Not to ADHD out, but have you seen the videos of the people on TikTok who are letting their kids, like, sled down on a tube or a sled, but they have it hooked up to, like, a rope, and then they have it on a big spool, and they take a drill, and they just go and pull the kid straight back up?
Brilliant. It's like the fishing thing with the, when they hit the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they're training for baseball or softball.
Yep.
Real.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Brilliant. Not to transition the conversation, but here's how I'll play it. Because you were saying, have you seen a video, the kids, and it triggered me. Remind me so we can get through the date thing to talk about what went down in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia specifically. About okay. this, the Rage and Pillage podcast, my buddy Burley showed some videos and Rob about something. And I want to bring this up because it just triggered my brain. It's going to be some interesting conversation. Obviously, okay. dinner at a restaurant was there. Bowling, which we talked about, is on this list. I like this one. Having a going to a coffee bar or a place that has coffee and just having like a conversation over coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. I think that's a decent option.
Yep.
Unless you don't like coffee, then that might be. But they, like Dan said, they're going to have some hot cocoa or something.
Yeah.
And then the last one that they had on this list, drinks at a bar.
Drinks at a bar is not a bad one, but it can be potentially dangerous because you want to have drinks, but not to the point that they get drunk. And you don't want to get drunk either. I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, the drunk you is the honest you. That ain't fucking true either.
Mm-mm.
The drunk you is determined by the type of day that you've had or the week that you've been having. If you've been having a really good week, you're going to be a happy-go-lucky partying fucking drunk. If you are going through some shit.
Or how you're.
Yeah, you're going to lash out.
Or how you deal
out.
With your nerves.
Yep. You're going to lash out. You're going to be angry, or you're going to cry about shit. Like, that's not who you are. It's not like you've got all that shit pent up and you're not willing to talk about it. It's just that stuff is now not controlled properly and it's coming out the wrong way.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It could go bad, but then at the same point, it could show a lot of flags. Like maybe, at my time when I was drinking too much, maybe I get on a first date at a bar. Next thing you know, I pound like six beers, don't feel that drunk. And she's kind of like, ooh, do you usually drink like that?
This man.
No, usually I have a couple shots in there. I'm like a 12 pack. I'm just having, you know what I mean? But then maybe it avoids some issues down the road. I don't, and maybe you're just like, oh, maybe does this girl party like this all the time? Cause you don't really want the bar fly. You know what I mean? But like most people, they go there. There's always some people, male or sometimes female, females as well, where they're always at a happy hour. They're just always around the bar. Like, you know what I mean? They're there. They're partying a lot. You know, maybe some. You don't always. You know, like Ludacris, I think, said it. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Hoes don't act right.
Some
that
things.
That hoe's on a mission. That hoe's on a crack pipe.
But some green flags from that same type of situation are: do they seem to know a lot of people? Are they coming here often? And if they are, that shows that one, they're kind of outgoing. Two, they seem to make friends easy, you know, and as long as they're not out of control every time that they're there, I think that's a healthy environment. I used to spend every Friday and Saturday night at the bar and every Sunday afternoon because we'd have Sunday Funday, but we'd be playing cornhole. I'd be hanging out with the same people. We'd be having good conversations. You know, we're being introduced to new people and we're not getting plastered every night. We just have found a very, we've found a mutual area that we can communicate and be ourselves and be relaxed. And if this person has found that, the chance of you being introduced to other people that if you like that person, there's a pretty decent chance you're going to like the people that they hang out with because, you know, as a society, we tend to hang out with people that are like-minded. So you've got the opportunity of opening yourself up to a whole new group of friends.
It's true. Yeah. No, I can see that both ways, especially, and it's different. I believe, you know, there might be people watching like in a big, big city. Like we grew up smaller towns, you know what I mean? Where it's more kind of less options, but like you said, you know, more Sunday fun days, easy vibes where you go huge cities. I mean, unless you're the same people are going to the same spot all the time, it's hard to run into the same circles and stuff. So I think that's where my brain is a little bit different because, you know, I can go to an area where, I mean, technically the place that I live is a dry town. There's not an actual bar. You can't have a bar in the place where I live.
I mean, if you live in Nashville and you're going through the what do they call it? The boardwalk or whatever every night or Broadway, whatever they call it. If you're going there every night, okay. One, you have a spending problem because that place is way too fucking pricey for anybody. I don't give a shit. If you're going there every night, you've got
I can money. Imagine.
I've never been. I want to.
But secondly, it's like going to, if you live around a college town and you're going to the bars every night, that's a red flag too. I'm sorry. That's a red flag. You need to grow the fuck up. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Looking like the Matthew McConaughey and fucking, I mean, what was it? Goddamn.
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. He's just Matthew McConaughey-ing it. See all these college girls?
Yeah.
I think he actually said high school girls, didn't he?
It was high school. You know what I like about high school? Yeah. Well, because he had graduated high school like 7 years or 5 or 7 years before that. And he's like, you know what I like about high school girls? Mm-hmm. I keep getting older and they keep staying the same age. And you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Let's calm down there, buddy.
All right.
Times were different back then. Imagine trying to put out a video like that or a movie with the stuff today.
No way you can. No.
So even if you saw it as a joke, or maybe
the last thing I'm going to ask before we transition over to what Matt wanted us to remind him of is,
oh shit,
friend, Georgia,
is it a good idea or a bad idea in your opinions to date within your own friend group?
Small town, big town, or just in general?
We'll say in general.
In general.
I mean, obviously, it's a dangerous situation in a small town.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I could see it both ways. You know what I mean? Here's my thing. Has this friend dated other friends? Or has this friend just kind of always been a friend in the circle? I think it's a bad idea if the, you know what I mean? If it's a buddy's ex-girl or anything like that. Like, that could, that's a weird situation. It happens all the time where I'm from. I've seen it. You know, they date.
First of all, if your buddy is a complete asshole, the fucking guy rule states you don't date your friend's ex. Mm-hmm. Right? I think we can all agree with that. If your best friend or a guy friend of yours that you're close with or you're really good friends with, if he breaks up, you don't look at that as an opportunity to get a girl, because now, one, you're an asshole. Because now it looks like you've been waiting for that moment to happen. And two, you've just made everything fucking awkward for everybody.
Yeah, because everybody.
Either you're not coming around anymore. Yeah, either you're not coming around anymore or you're bringing her over and now everybody's like, whose side are we on? Can we? And most likely you're bringing around a bunch of guys that just got done talking shit about this girl to make your buddy feel good about himself.
Yep.
Had a buddy that kind of did something like
unless
that.
Unless he was an asshole, then you fucking do it all day and you rub it in.
He was an asshole. Mm-hmm. He was an asshole. Yeah. My friend was dating this girl, and this other friend of mine, he somehow got with her. She got in front of the youth group and said, God wants me and, him to take a break from dating right now. So basically she could get with this other guy. And they got together a little bit and got very awkward. They almost got into a fist fight at church. It was great.
Ooh.
And then about 2 weeks later, she got up in front of the youth group and said, God wanted us to get back together. I'm like, I turned to one of my friends and next to me, I go, I wish God would make up his mind.
Using God as the scapegoat here, come on.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just can use an imaginary friend as a scapegoat at any time. I don't need
It was very awkward, but at the same time it was some fun drama at the same time, not gonna lie.
I mean, a fist fight in a church a church group or something, that does that happen often? That can't happen that much, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
What happened? Like,
a lot more often than you think.
Yeah, it happens for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. What's the punishment for that?
Cut it out.
So there's nothing.
Hey, love thy neighbor.
Well, you might
love thy neighbor.
You might be asked to leave, not come back. You get to hang out with your friends.
What a horrible thing that would be.
At the church.
The fucking video I just saw. I just saw a video of Dan. I laughed so goddamn hard. And I know it was a repost where it was like, Dan knows where I'm going with this.
I redid the joke.
Well, no, it was the one where the guy goes, who's got the book?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know.
What book has the most annoying fans? And this guy just stitches it and he goes, "The Bible." The Bible. And I'm like, oh. I mean, he's not wrong.
You don't see Harry Potter. You don't see Harry Potter fans coming knocking on my door.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Maybe these people in Atlanta, Georgia, should need maybe some more Jesus in their life. So I know you guys maybe have heard of this, maybe you haven't. And like I said, I heard of it because of the Rage and Pillage podcast. There's an Atlanta dance studio that is in the center of controversy, in my opinion, the right way. They are offering Mommy and Me pole dancing classes. There is moms and young children that are taking pole dancing classes.
Wait. Do you say and young children?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Like, there's a video on YouTube, and it's not like obviously
doing it, but there's no.
Yeah, and it's not like they're not making it a what we would think typical pole dancing is the thing. Obviously, they're all wearing full clothes, any weird outfits or anything. But it's called Mommy and Me Pole Classes. This is at the Pink Pole Studio in Atlanta.
Now, I will say this. My wife and I frequently watch pole dancing competitions. I don't know if you guys have ever seen them, but it is an undiscovered art form to most people that is just beautiful. It is breathtaking. They have usually like 2 to 3 poles. And some of these women, the acrobatics, like going from one pole to the other, and they go to a song, and it's like watching a ballet on a pole, and it can be just stunning and beautiful and telling this amazing story. So I'm not opposed to it, but I mean,
well, we'll show you the footage and then see if you think this is a beautiful thing.
So my initial reaction was like, no. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, things are starting to change with that. Toby was saying.
Yeah, and it could. I mean, I'd have to imagine, and this is a guy that hasn't like spent time on it, so I'm not trying to be judgmental or whatever. Like, I would have to imagine it's pretty good exercise, good cardio. Yeah. You're doing a lot with strength, condition. You know what I mean, stuff like that. But there's there. But I'll roll the video. This is one from. Where's this video from? This is on the YouTube of the Atlanta News First, and they did a story obviously on it. There's some footage. Apparently, there is footage everywhere on this, whether it's going to be TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. It's been a big piece of conversation. I'm not going to play the audio, but there's definitely some video of the club, some kids, moms, daughters, sons.
It looks like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it as a terrible bad thing. It's not like they're doing moves or anything, they're and for anybody that's just listening, it's just there was a video, the kids are physically climbing it like in gym class when you're doing the rope climb back in the day. I don't know if they do that anymore. Doing some spins or I don't know the terminology, but I don't see it as like a weird thing, but the internet is all over them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It
looks like they're wearing regular clothes.
Yeah, it's because the internet can't, like, we've gotten to the point in society where people have to voice their distaste or their opinion. Like, I wish we would see, I see nothing wrong with what's going on there. I honestly don't. I wish people would be just as willing to post their positive statements about shit like this on social media as they are about posting their negative comments. Like, I don't know what it is about people that gains them, makes them feel some sort of empowerment to say something negative about something and not say something positive. Like, what is it because you get more attention by being negative? Is that what it is?
And let's be honest, anybody that's reposting or doing an article or anything on that knows that they can put headlines like kids pole dancing and stuff like that, because pole dancing is often associated with you know, strip clubs and adult style things where, you know, you have Toby that, you know, just explain, like, it can be a beautiful art form. And I know people that, you know, locally that they've either started classes or they do it. They do the same thing. They don't call it pole dancing, but there's the art form of not only that with the pole, but the, that's going to sound like an idiot, but
the silks,
the like cloth or
the
silks or whatever. It's, they do the stuff silks, like that, which, for, you know, their exercise. Yeah.
So if for anybody that has a problem with somebody learning the silks, first of all, that shit's fucking difficult. Secondly, don't ever watch a Pink concert, because she does it constant. That, first of all, I love Pink. I'll say it. I've got no problems with that. I absolutely love Pink. She puts on probably the best concert of anybody. She's got some of
the one that fell out and broke her back one time. Wasn't it her?
I have not heard that.
I thought it was Pink or somebody big like that was doing like an aerial thing and fell out.
She does a lot of aerial stuff. And she does work with the silks and everything. And the silks is just as beautiful as of a thing as the women that do pole dancing for the same thing. Like it's another physical form of art, in my opinion. I'm not saying that's how everybody should think about it. I'm sure that we're going to have plenty of people disagree with it. I tried to the point where I like tried to get my own wife to learn pole dancing and stuff, not to like turn me on or anything like that. But one is it's really good for fitness, but two, I just felt like it would be something that she would enjoy and something that I could appreciate by looking at it in a different light than what other people, you know, what other people usually think of. I mean, I already get people.
And you ended up using the pole more than her.
Yeah, like twice as much.
Yeah, he went.
That's how I found out that poles spin, and that the women don't spin, the pole spins. I didn't know.
Yeah, I was surprised when I figured that out too. Yeah, I heard about that. I don't have.
I mean, not all of them, obviously, not all of them, but a vast majority of the poles actually spin around a center rather than the women spinning around the pole.
A quick callback: Pink did get hurt in 2010. It was a while ago, but she fell. She had an accident in one of her aerial stunts and had to be hospitalized when she was in Germany.
Ooh, yeah. She just recently did another one everybody's starting to post about it on. Like the big argument right now is who's bigger, like Pink or Taylor Swift. But when you go, if you go to anybody else's concerts and you compare it to a Pink concert, yeah, the fans might be hyped up and everything, but Pink puts herself like in this harness that's like attached at four points throughout the stadium, and they can put her anywhere in that stadium and they have it pre-programmed, and they will launch her all the way out to the people way up in the big seats, and they will just have her string across, and she loves it. She waves at them. She'll go by and she'll touch their hands and everything. And she goes, like, to have that type of engagement with your fan base, you know, oh yeah, I understand you're up in the nosebleed seats and you don't really get to see me except for on this giant Titantron or whatever. Hey, you know what? I'm going to bring myself to you. And out she goes. And she's interacting.
That's wild.
Her. Like, Pink is an amazing person to me, if you ask me.
Yeah. We got no problems. We got no beef with Pink.
Oh, amazing voice. Yeah. She's one of these people that doesn't have all the other shit layer on top of her in order to sing. Lady Gaga, like a lot of people thought that Lady Gaga couldn't, like, and then she came out and sang like naturally, no music behind her or nothing. Holy shit, that woman can sing.
You don't get that big, that popular, and sell out stadiums if you don't have talent. I mean, let's be honest. Because there's a lot of talent.
I mean, Millie Vanilli did it too. I'm just saying.
there's an exception to every rule, they say.
Really quick. I'm going to go. So one thing that's great about Lady Gaga is that she can play all of her songs on her piano because that's where she writes them. Mm-hmm. And man, when she just goes to the piano and just sings some of her pop songs on the piano, I'm like, man, I like this version better.
It's
not bad the first time.
Yep. No, I was just gonna say, I didn't realize, but when I was searching just some pink facts, just to throw in something fun when I didn't find really anything cool. Beyonce came out with a country song that apparently is in the news a lot. I haven't heard it. I don't know how you could.
I mean, you must be off of social media altogether if you have not heard it, not even once.
Because I don't really get on there. I post on like all of the accounts and then I get back off. I'll look it up if you think it's worth it. But she
came out with it and I was live and everybody's like, Toby, what do you think about Beyonce's country album? I'm like, first of all, you're asking me about country. I don't fucking like country to begin with. In most modern country, I can't stand. If you want to ask me about country, ask me about country in the 90s, right? Garth Brooks, Brooks and Dunn, Reba McEntire, that country. Ask me about that because I listened to it back then.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, it's not bad. I'm not going to say it's bad. I'm not going to say it's amazing. I'm going to say it's a country song that sounds like it came from a pop artist. Yeah. It's got a very pop kind of feel to it.
And there's been a lot of people that have crossed over into country and this and that. Like you said, I am not a country person at all, so I can't judge anything. But you guys mentioned Lady Gaga. She did country at some point.
I think country music right now is kind of in that genre where they sound either pop or rock.
You've got that mix of country, pop, country, rock. Yeah, well, you've got that mix that you're starting to kind of move away from what they call stadium country or the stadium rock. kind of country into more pop culture style, you know, more pop style country, which is hilarious because pop music is getting less pop music and it's becoming more like angsty. Like pop music is like popular pop music now is like very angsty type of music. Like everything's about pain now. And then like bluegrass, thankfully bluegrass is kind of starting to make a comeback, which I love bluegrass. But I don't consider I do not consider bluegrass to be country though. And then you've got country, which is becoming your pop. So everything's kind of intermingling. Last thing I wanted to ask you guys about, and this is probably going to bring us over, but I've got to ask about it today. There's a teacher. You can probably find this article. There's a teacher that during February was doing, I don't know the exact details of it, but the internet's apparently in an outroar, not in the posting that I saw. There was a lot of positive discussion about it. There was a teacher that during February put her doors to her classroom says whites only,
heard about it,
coloreds only on it.
Yeah.
Now I understand the reasoning behind it. Like I can look at that and say, this is a teacher. This is not somebody that's doing something racially motivated. This is somebody that's showing their kids
educating
them on history, because as we all know, if you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. Right. So I have a feeling that there was a really good lesson involved here, as well as making people understand and feel uncomfortable by if people are feeling uncomfortable by seeing it, good. Then the lesson has been learned and we've shown that we can move forward as a country, because people didn't fucking feel uncomfortable about that shit not too long ago. Right. Like even when my parents were kids, that's not there. It is. So what do you guys feel about that? I guess is the last thing I really wanted to kind of discuss. Do you think this was good on this teacher for kind of stepping up and saying, you know what? I'm not going to allow my students to not know about this. I'm not going to allow history to repeat itself eventually by not discussing it or saying that this is what things are. Do you think maybe she should have done this in a different month, where it's not Black History Month? Or do you think this was the right time to do it?
Yeah.
Dan, I'll let you answer. I just want to paint the scene super quick for anybody that's just listening. There's a sign that says Sears Department Store Only 1930. Then there's two doors. One says the colored entrance and one says white entrance. And they're obviously like classroom doors or something. I don't know what they are, but that's what the picture is that we're talking about that we found on the internet.
I get what Toby's saying, where I kind of see it as, I think that there's still reasons why people get triggered when they see something like this, and it's understandable. There's still people that are alive that used to see that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so there is definitely a push to not let that happen again or not normalize that type of behavior. So I kind of get it on both ends. I understand it. Is it the right time? I don't know, you know, but I do understand the anger that when someone sees this or a group of people sees this and they get upset.
Yep. And what's crazy to not bring anything, that's almost 100 years ago from this 1930 in this scenario to obviously what it is now. And like I said, it was a much different time. For if you're a history teacher and you want to show the history, kids, you know, sometimes need a visual to be like, this is what it was like. Like, you had to go here, and you had to go here. Like, it was a dark time. And like you said, you guys don't want it to go back to this. I mean, is there a better way to do it? I don't know. I'm not in the, I'm not a teacher. I'm not in there. And it got their attention. And it's something the kids are definitely never going to forget.
It's a bold move.
Exactly.
It's a very bold move.
And I think we could, as much as we probably wouldn't want to admit it, I think we all kind of have to admit it. We all have a relative that is looking at that and going, it should still be that way. Male, female, I don't give a shit. Like, we all have a relative that would see that photo and be like, and that's how it should still be. And that's the problem. So I think it's a good idea. And I think during Black History Month is a good time to do it, because people need to understand
this. I would think it would be the better month.
This is what people went through, and it wasn't right. And we need to learn as a country and move forward from that. But the fact that mentality, we all know, still exists in people is what really kind of fucking throws me. And I think it's because throughout the years, we've been ignoring this type of education, that we've been ignoring bringing up these type of topics. You know, my own son, who passed away and was mixed, got kicked out of class one day because they were talking about Civil War for like over a week and a half. They were talking about the Civil War for over a week and a half, 2 weeks or something like that. And he had asked, when are we going to talk about slavery? When are we going to talk about that part of the war? He goes, and he said, I know that's not exactly everything that the war was about, but why has it not come up not one time? And he was asked to be quiet about it. And he's like, why? He goes, I'm not going to be quiet about it. He goes, look at me. This is part of my history. At what point in time do we get to discuss this part of history? And we're in North Carolina, and he was asked to leave. Mm-hmm. I got called up to the school to come in because he got kicked out of school for the day. And I had to go up and discuss with the teacher why what he said wasn't inappropriate. And she says, well, it made other kids in the class uncomfortable. I'm like, fucking good. Because that's the purpose of having these discussions, is to get people out of their comfort zone and understand. If you feel uncomfortable, there's a reason for it. If you see something and it doesn't make you feel right, there's a reason for that. It's because it's not fucking right. And it needs to be vocalized and it needs to be discussed. So I think it's a good move on the fucking teacher, personally.
I remember one of the times that I got really angry about things that were not in the history books was the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre.
Oh, Black Wall Street.
Did you guys hear about that? Black Wall Street. Yeah.
Black Wall Street.
I found out about that 2018, 2019. I first heard about that from a work colleague of mine.
Yeah.
And they told me about it. I'm like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
What happened? And I just like, that's just, I mean, I believe it, but just crazy that was left out of the history books.
There's a lot. Not only that, could you imagine? I couldn't imagine. At one point in my life, like I wanted to go be a teacher, and like you said, you whether you think it's right or wrong, almost everything you can do as a teacher these days are scrutinized so badly. That's, you know, whether it's, you know, teaching a history like lesson like this, or, you know, locally where we were, there was a situation over, you know, like rainbows and being positive that went like that, that got misconstrued. Like almost everything is just scrutinized so much.
Bro,
I would imagine it's not an easy job.
I would imagine the hardest teaching job to have, especially in today's society, would be a history teacher. It's gotta be. Gotta be, because you're so limited. And you're constantly school restricted on what you can talk about. Are you kidding me? Like social studies, when I was growing up, we learned about all sorts of things, but you can't talk about this or you can't talk about that. And it's constantly changing. Like just the things that I've talked to my kids about what they learn in history, they'd learn about the similar timeline. And I'd be like, well, what'd you think about this? And they go, we didn't learn about that. I'm like, why? I'm like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it. So I couldn't ask why we're not learning it. And I was like, no, you're right. But this is how history repeats itself, because we're constantly erasing shit out of history. And we need to stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, history. Sorry, was I didn't mean wild. To end
the different podcast times. on a low note.
No, it's good. Like, but either way, let's say our goodbyes. This was fun. Like I said,
yeah.
I mean, anywhere from dating advice to history. I mean, this is the beauty of it. We can go off on a tangent on whatever we want, and it was awesome. Like I said, a little bit of everything. So if you're here for dating advice, you just got some education as well. So we'll be back next week. It'll be March. We'll talk about some more stuff. You know what we're going to talk about?
Shit,
I don't know, because we don't plan anything. It'll be March already. It's crazy, which is pretty beautiful for me, because we might actually get weather above 30 soon.
And so, I know you're a huge basketball fan, so you've got March Madness coming up.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And like I said, we're not a sports show, but there's some shit that's going to go down that we might talk about, because we're dudes being dudes. So obviously, Dan, Toby, can't thank you guys enough. Thank you, askmen.com, for all your information as well. And go Google some stuff. Educate your stuff. Athman. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Don't say it.
Not going to say it. Okay. I got to go.
Fuck you, Dan.
I'm talking about Toby. There you go.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.